There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
B-Pod Studios.
That. Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk. Well, you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. I'm doing math, if you'll excuse me, if you would. Okay, Rich, I want to play the clip of Belichick being a prick, because there's really no excuse, and I have the play sheet here, as it was handed to me. I get all the Patriot emails except for the one I want, but I've been handed the play sheet, so this is talking about their last possession of the game. When they drove, and ultimately Cam Newton was short with his attempt to get in from the two. And there was a pass to Edelman for 13 yards. 27 seconds ran off the clock between the time that Edelman... But by the snap of the ball that led to the Edelman reception and the timeout from Seattle with 9 seconds left. So 27 seconds went off the clock. Let's hear the question that was posed to Bill Belichick.
Was there a thought at all to take a timeout after the long play to Julian there at the end?
Seattle took a timeout. I mean, what are you talking about?
I think the clock ran down from 36 seconds to 13 after the 18-yard completion to Edelman.
Yes. Yeah, well...
Yeah, so Bill Belichick left dumbstruck by that question, and he was wrong. Because
here's why I think he was right.
He was wrong. And,
well, the reason why he's right is that you wouldn't have been able to have that timeout when N'Keal Harry caught the ball on the 1 yard line.
Could have clocked it. You ran off 27
there
seconds.
There was 3 seconds left. He caught it on the 1 yard.
There wouldn't
line
have been three. There wouldn't have been 3 seconds left. Because you would have called the timeout and would have saved yourself 27 seconds.
See, but the thing is, if you don't have a timeout with 27 seconds left, if there just so happens to be a play that ends in the middle of the field, like N'Keal Harry's did,
you may
not have time to do it.
You can clock it.
And in that case,
You can clock it. There's nothing. No, they could have clocked the ball. They didn't have to call a timeout.
You can't clock it if there's 3 seconds left.
You can't have. There wouldn't have been 3 seconds left. They ran off 27 seconds of clock. There would have been at least 20 seconds of clock left. You could have called a timeout. If you didn't have the timeout, you could have rushed the line and clocked it. And you would
either
have
way,
had
you get
shots.
The same number of plays in.
No, I mean, you would have had an extra.
You use the timeout at one place and not the other place. It doesn't matter.
You would have had extra plays.
And I'd rather have it closer to the end of the game than blowing it with 27 seconds.
You would have had extra time. You would have had extra plays. They snapped the ball with 41 seconds left. With 36 seconds left. Mm-hmm. And by the time Seattle called a timeout, 27 seconds had run off the clock. So you would have had the time for at least two plays, if not three. So they screwed up. They didn't even have to use the timeout. They screwed up. They let too much time pass. They mismanaged the clock. There's no doubt about it.
I think they got the same amount of plays and they would have gotten.
How do you factor in the one-yard line? Do you understand the killing the clock? They would have had the they could have killed the clock. They let 27 seconds run off the clock. When Nikhil Harry caught that ball and they called timeout, there was 3 seconds left.
Okay, so let's
say... would have been 30 seconds left on the clock.
Let's say they call a timeout there, and there's 27 seconds left.
Oh, no, there would have been... No, at that point, there would have been 33 seconds left on the clock.
Okay, so let's say there's 30 seconds left, and then they throw that pass to Nikhil Harry.
Yes.
Okay, and he catches the one-yard line. You're still going to end up with only about time enough for one play.
No, you run up and
because
you run
the play.
There would have been 17 seconds left.
You have to run up and you have to clock it.
That's 10 seconds. That's
10 seconds left.
That's 10 seconds. So there's 17 seconds left in the game, and that's enough for three plays.
I just think if you're the coach and you know that you've got 27 seconds, full seconds left, that you hold onto that timeout.
Why don't you clock it then? Why don't you clock it?
Well, oh, you mean where they were running up to the line? Maybe they wanted to, I don't know. They wanted to rush it. You mean clock it with Edelman?
Edelman catches the ball. You get a first down. Why don't you clock it there?
Why don't you go up there and clock it? I mean, probably because Belichick knew what play he wanted to run.
And yeah, but it's a first down. You can kill the clock. You still have three shots at the end zone.
I still believe you get about the same amount of plays in.
I don't understand.
Use the timeout at a different time.
I don't understand how you get... I don't understand how if you save... 20 seconds, 15 seconds, 10 seconds a clock. How do you get the same amount of plays in?
I mean, they could have gotten that play run a little bit quicker. I mean, that's one thing you could say. There could have been a little bit.
Well, no, but I don't understand what the disadvantage of killing the clock in that situation is. You're not worried about giving Seattle the ball back.
Calling the timeout?
Calling the timeout or killing the clock. You don't give Seattle. I mean, Seattle's not going to drive down with 5 seconds left in the game. I mean, you squib a kick. And then, I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't stop the clock in that situation. You would run more plays. They let far too much time drain. Belichick didn't even have an answer for it. I mean, there's not a debate. They screwed up.
So if they do that, okay, all right. I mean, I just think that you would have gotten about in the same amount of plays.
You would have had a chance at least for an... Okay. Edelman catches the ball, okay? There's 36 seconds left in the game. Edelman catches the ball. Seattle calls a timeout with 9 seconds left. That's 27 seconds that you let burn. So say I'll give you 17 seconds to clock the ball. I'll give you 17 seconds. That still gives you 13 seconds to instead of three.
Yeah, so, clocking the ball probably would have been a better idea. The timeout, though, I know why he didn't call it. And it's for exactly the reason that they ended up using it on that last play. But
you could have clocked it at that situation.
But clocking it probably would have been the better idea. That's true.
Well, there's no doubt about it. He screwed up. He mismanaged the clock. So Belichick's, he's got a lot of balls in him. Should have just said, I screwed up. This thing keeps going off. Let's go to Ryan. Go ahead, Ryan.
Come on, Rich. They easily could have gotten two plays out of that. You spike the ball, you go up, you take a shot, throw it into the end zone. At least, as you said, at least one more play. I mean, I don't know what's so hard to understand.
You think they would have gotten one extra play?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That was more than enough time. Run up and spike it. And that's it. That saves so much time right there.
No,
so
spiking, it's different. Fred's saying, why didn't they call a timeout?
No, I said, that's not the argument we were having at all. The argument was, why didn't you stop the clock?
Yeah, why didn't you call a timeout?
No, the argument,
that's what Belichick was
Rich,
asked.
We were having a argument about why they didn't stop the clock.
No, Belichick was asked timeout, and I said, I know why he didn't use the timeout. He wanted to save it. He didn't want to blow it with 20-something seconds or 30 seconds left. He wanted to save it in case there was a play in the middle of the field in which he used it for. And I said, now, if you wanted to go up and you wanted to clock it, that's different. But
that's
the question
that
was,
wasn't
that
the
was
argument.
Asked, is, why didn't
that
you call
wasn't the argument
no, that's
we
exactly
were having.
What it was. No, it was. That's the question Belichick was asked. And I said, well, I know why he didn't use the timeout. It's because he wanted to save it.
Okay.
That's exactly what he was asked.
That's not the conversation we were having for the first 5 minutes of this break.
It just was.
I think Fred's point was You should have called the timeout earlier.
No, John, you weren't paying attention.
No, I was out. You're telling me I wasn't paying attention? Of course I'm paying attention.
You're watching TV.
No, I wasn't looking at you, but I'm paying attention to the conversation. The argument was, take the timeout. You would have more time at the goal line to run more than one play.
That wasn't even.
You don't call timeout with 28 seconds to go. Okay. You hold on to that just in case. Okay. And clocking it would have been a smart idea. If they would have went up before that, right after the Edelman play, gone up to the line and clocked it, that's different. And I think that would probably be the best thing to do.
John, if you could, just please stay focused on the
show. All right, explain. Now explain all, what I got wrong. What did I get wrong?
It's pointless because you're not even participating in the show.
You guys were having a pretty good argument.
Nick, answer the goddamn phone.
You guys were having a pretty good argument. Just
Just forget it, John. I mean, Jesus Christ. At least pay attention to the show. I mean, that's all I'm asking.
Debate. No need to get angry.
No, it's just... I'm not angry at you. I'm angry at John for not paying attention. Jesus Christ, it would be so hard to pay attention. Nick, go ahead.
Fred, for the first time in my life, I 100% agree with you. Rich, you're completely wrong.
It's just fine. I'm not even mad at Rich. It's just you listened to the conversation, Nick, and John didn't listen to the conversation. It's just crazy.
Bill completely messed that up.
It's no fun anymore. It's all the joy is out of the conversation. There's three people on the show. If Rich and I are having a disagreement, then there should be an arbiter that's been paying attention. You weren't paying attention. What were you thinking about?
I was thinking about whether or not Bill Belichick had two timeouts or one down the stretch. And I'm thinking about whether or not he could have used one of those two timeouts to give himself more time at the goal line.
That was part of the conversation. It wasn't the full conversation. Brian, did you listen to the conversation?
Yes. Rich always does this. Whenever he's wrong, he'll morph his argument into something else. So, Freddie, to your right, halfway through it, he realized what clocking was, and then he changed his argument.
What are you talking about? No. The question that Bill Belichick was asked was, should you have called a timeout? And I said he shouldn't have called a timeout with 28 seconds left. He saved it till the end, and that was the smart thing to do. Now, should he have gone up? Should they have, after the Edelman thing, gone up and should have clocked the ball? Totally. I've got no problem with that part of it. But, yeah, no, you don't use your timeout there with 28 seconds left. You just don't do it. And I think Bill Belichick was right there.
Well, if John was listening to the conversation, you would have known that that wasn't the conversation we were having.
Well, you said Belichick was wrong.
I said he should have stopped the clock in one way.
No. He said he was asked about the timeout. You're the one changing the conversation.
Okay. Very good. All right. Jeff Howell will join us in just a moment.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born. And at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Voice up. Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk, while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Tusher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Four-man rush. Losing a ton of time again. Fires. It's going to be caught at the 13-yard line by Edelman.
But a huge tackle there to get him down inbound, so it forces them to the line of scrimmage. Do you use that timeout? They do not.
Let the clock run down, and they're not going to even spike it here. Just going for it on a first down and 10. and Newton's going to fire, and that's incomplete. Intended for Edelman.
John. I had to scold John off air.
In my face.
Not the last thing you're allowed to scold John for is not being able to hear.
Apparently, I hear it constantly. I hear it a lot.
You see, Fred, you need to sit to his right, not his left. That's the case.
He's got headphones in, but we, Rich and I are having a disagreement, an argument, a debate, I should say.
And sports Rich, debate.
Rich changed his argument. Oh, and
now
hang on.
Now John pops up. All right, forget it. I don't want to have. It's pointless now. The moment's gone. It's pointless.
That was just for you, Rich.
Oh yeah. If you were listening, we could have had this conversation in real time. Jeff Howe covers the Patriots for theathletic.com. And then John, just listen.
All right,
just listen to the show. That's all. Just listen. Now there's 8 callers that are telling you to... Let me take a call to tell you to listen.
Okay.
I'll take one call to tell you to listen. Oh, Fred needs to chill. I'm so upset. Ron, I tell someone to listen to the show, so out of my mind. Ron, go ahead. Ron. Of course. Good. Ron, can you hear the show? Ron. Is Ron up?
Ron is dead.
Well, now I don't have Ron. Ron, go ahead. Ron.
Chris,
fine. Chris, go ahead.
Chris, all right. So, Fred, you're right. Rich changes his argument right in the middle of arguing with you about blocking the ball.
Yes, I know. And if Wallach...
Let me just say one last thing. Fred started this whole thing with saying Bill Belichick was wrong in that clip.
Yes.
Okay. And what was he asked about, Fred?
The timeout, but then our conversation was
No, you said he was wrong to not call a timeout, and I said he was right to not call a timeout. That was the basis of the argument. Agreed?
No.
That is... You said he was wrong to not call a timeout, and I said he was right, and you're the one who changed it into clocking it, and they should have done that. And you know what I did? I said, you know what? You're right. They could have run up to the line, and they could have clocked it. So how did I change the argument?
During the conversation, you switched...
That is the basis of it.
During your conversation, you switched your argument. That's all.
My argument was that he should not have called a timeout there, and you said that he should have. That's the argument. It was based on that clip. So if you agree that that's the case, then you're the one that's changing it into something else.
Rich doesn't know what clock it means. He thinks it's a timeout.
It's not a timeout. What are you talking about?
Fred, you're such a puss. You were right. You ruined your correctness by bitching at John. Rich, clocking or timeout, the same thing. It stops the clock. Rich, the Patriots ran 24 seconds off the clock. Getting to the line after the Edelman reception to the 13, they could have clocked the ball after the catch. They would have had 24 seconds left on the 13 with one timeout left. Sorry.
I agree.
Fred is changing the argument. He is right that they should have taken the timeout. He never said anything about spiking or stopping it right.
That's right,
Fred. Toucher and Rich calls a timeout, save 27 seconds. I don't know. Whatever. It's just now we're just talking about something that John should have been able to step into. All right. Fred is right. Sounds like Rich is referring back to the Bill Belichick question because you didn't understand what Fred was saying. From the beginning, Fred was talking about stopping the clock, not just a timeout. That is what I said, but it doesn't matter now.
Bill Belichick was wrong.
Yes, he was wrong.
And he was asked about the timeout, not stopping the clock.
All right, Rich. Well, this is getting into circles. This conversation wouldn't even have had to happen if John was just... And even if John just would have said I wasn't listening, it would have been fine. Jeff, go ahead. Jeff Howe, I'm sorry, he covers the Patriots for theathletic.com, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Jeff, suffice it to say, regardless of our argument in the studio, Bill Belichick ruled.
Yeah, that was great.
But Belichick mismanaged the clock at the end of the game.
Yeah, in hindsight, that the timeout would have been the right call. But in real time, I mean, it wasn't a terribly long completion. I think they probably could have gotten to the line and gotten the next playoff a little bit quicker. But, it's hard to say because you also want to make sure that you save that timeout for a situation where if, you complete a pass short of the goal line and you're not in bounds, you have it to spare. So it's, those are those types of calls that,
more often than not, hindsight proves to be correct, and they can usually go either way. In real time, I can't say I had a problem with them not using the timeout, but in hindsight, obviously, losing those 24 seconds, it, you know, that hurt them. The problem might have cost them an extra play.
Do you have a problem with the last play of the game?
No, I was actually thinking, you know, the whole way, when they were coming off the timeout, that has to be the play. That's been their best play of the season. They've been tremendous in short yardage. They've used that play, at least four times between the previous two, or, you know, the Dolphins game and then earlier in the Seattle game, and it was successful each time. And if they ran a play and that wasn't that play and it wasn't successful, I would have been sitting there saying, why didn't you just run that power draw with Cam Newton that you've been using so well all season? I mean, it really has been their best play of the season. So I think that was the right play call. You know, Jakob Johnson just couldn't make the block that they needed to give Cam a little more time to figure out the running lane. And then Cam Newton was pretty hard at himself after the game too, saying that he probably could have bounced it outside. I mean, I have no idea how difficult or easy it is to make that type of decision if you're a quarterback in that situation. But I mean, it all comes back to, I think that was the right play call.
I think that you're absolutely right. I think that we would have been sitting here completely bitching about it if they would have thrown the ball, and that's a total hindsight thing. Go ahead, Rich.
And it's one thing to, you know, to have Russell Wilson and that offense that is just unbelievable. He threw some passes that not many quarterbacks can do, and for them to score as much as they did yesterday. But when you take a look at Stephon Gilmore not able to stop that one pass, and it just looks like they're targeting him now. Is this a little bit of a shock how this year's defense seems to be, I don't want to say significantly, but it doesn't look like last year's defense, and it doesn't seem to be anything that offenses are afraid of anymore.
Well, they don't have the tenacity that the pass rush had last year, and their pass rush hasn't been bad through two games, but it's not, you know, quite where it was a year ago, obviously. I mean, last week they had 17 disruptions, which I tally as sacks, pressures, and QB hits. Which would have been a good number compared to last year. I think it would have been the seventh most that they had all season. But you compare it to the two Dolphins games, I think they had like 25 and 23 or 27 and 23 the two times they played the Dolphins last year. So comparatively, they were a little bit down. And I think that shows what happens when you lose your top three pass rushers, Hightower, Collins, and Van Noy. And then last night, they had 21 disruptions. So they were getting home, but Russell Wilson was still able to make those amazing throws, as you said. And I think it all kind of works together. I mean, last week when they had the three interceptions, the pass rush was also working pretty well on those plays, at least two of them. And, you know, last night, he had just enough time to hang in the pocket. I mean, three of his touchdown passes, he got hit on, and he got hit cleanly on. So I think last night, whether it's fear or whatever, that's Russell Wilson's style, and he executed it extremely well.
All right, Gilmore was abused last night, and Gilmore wasn't great in the first game either. Are you concerned about him?
I wouldn't say concerned. I would just say that's certainly a fair observation. I mean, he had, you know, I wrote it last week. He was good enough against the Dolphins, but it wasn't a typical Gilmore performance. And then last night, obviously, was on the wrong side of the matchup with DK Metcalf. And three completions for, I want to say, 85 yards I had him for on five targets, which I would assume, going back to my notes when I do that today, if you compared that to last season, it would have been his second worst game. You know, just only the finale against the Dolphins was his worst game as a Patriot. So not the start that you would like out of Stephon Gilmore at all. And you know, is it because of the lack of training camp or, you know, what have you? I mean, I don't know. But not a concern, because, you know, knowing that guy for the last three-plus years, he's a good pro. He prepares the right way. He does all the right things. Athletically, he clearly still looks like he has it. He's just, you know, they've gotten him a couple times.
After the first two games, are you convinced now that this Patriots offense can be multiple and throw and run the football down the field effectively, or do you think the Patriots running attack against Miami was just a real good running attack against a bad defense?
A little of both. I think that the game plan against Miami was executed so well that you really didn't ever have to veer away from it. And then last night, once they started to open it up, I mean, Cam Newton was phenomenal. His accuracy, I've been saying this really since the first few days of training camp, his accuracy has been better than advertised. And that was certainly true last night. I mean, yeah, he had that interception. That's the kind of throw that's been biting him, especially in practice, that one to the backside, an out route to a guy like Damir Bird, who I don't know if he's selling those routes. I don't know if there's some sort of tell or if he just doesn't break hard enough or whatever. But Bird has been susceptible, whether it's been in practice or clearly last night a couple times against the Seahawks. Cornerbacks have been jumping those. So they've, you know, those throws have been a bit of a tricky one. I mean, Newton completed one earlier in that drive to Bird when he threw the pass before Bird even broke. So the early anticipation, I think, is going to be key if they're going to keep going back to that. But he opened it up, and he did great. And, I mean, the accuracy, especially down the field, was a big reason why they were even still in that game. So I think that's extremely encouraging. That's the most encouraging aspect of that loss, is that they're going to be able to win when they need to throw the ball down the field. And, I mean, you asked about the play. The only play call I really didn't like, I think McDaniels had a really good game, but the only play call I didn't like was that third and four left.
Ugh, that was awful. Yeah.
I mean, at that point in the game, Newton was 7 of 7 on third and fourth down for like 85 yards or something like that. When he was running or throwing, the Patriots had converted 8 of their 11 third downs, and then they put him on an option pitch to Burkhead to his weak side. I mean, it's a hard pitch for a right-handed quarterback to send it to the left side of the field. Burkhead lost 4 yards, and Jamal Adams and the Seahawks were all over it.
Yeah. You know, I saw something that you rarely see last night, and that was a winded Edelman. And that's not a knock on Edelman. That is just, maybe this is the new normal for him, where you're going to be getting, you know, 179 receiving yards, you know, during a game. But, I mean, that's kind of changed a lot about who Edelman is and how much he's going to be used. Is this something that we're going to be seeing a lot of, or do you think that this was just an outlier for the way that the game was set up?
I think the lack of conditioning is kind of probably hurting, well, everybody certainly. But Edelman, I mean, he was on a pitch count in training camp. So the Patriots have had 5 weeks of practices, and Edelman has largely been limited throughout all of those 5 weeks. So he's not in peak Edelman form at this point. And then he took 2 hard shots on the neck last night too. And
yeah,
you know, you compound that with the amount of how Cam Newton was wearing him out and how fast they were moving the ball in the second half. I mean, that's a tough situation for anybody to be in.
All right. They played well. They look good offensively. We'll address the running game as the opposition improves. I'm not aware of the Raiders' run defense at this point, but we'll have to investigate as the week goes on. Do you know, Jeff? Well, how about that Raiders run defense? Do we know?
Probably non-existent.
Yes, I'm going to guess that they suck as well.
We'll find out tonight. We get a good view tonight.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They didn't play yesterday. So we'll have to figure out that Vegas run defense, because that's something that's still up in the air. But all I got to know is, tell you, Sony Michel, baby, put that in the bank. You got that in your arsenal.
Is Damian Harris, just real quick, is Damian Harris going to help out here when he gets back?
Yeah, I think so, because Michel wasn't impressive last night, and you know, he's had another slow start. So I think once Damian Harris is back, I would imagine in a week that he's going to, well, obviously after next week, he's a guy that he had such a good camp, and it's got to be just incredibly infuriating for him to have a hand injury a couple weeks into another strong camp that is, you know, last year sunk him. This year, I think he's got a lot more trust and goodwill from the coaching staff, where I think they're going to put him to use a lot quicker.
That you could have picked up Fournette. You could have had, you could have had Cam Newton and Fournette. You would have looked like mad scientists, mad geniuses picking up both of them. All right, Jeff Howe, thank you so much for the time. Everyone, read The Athletic. And Jeff Howe, you wish you looked like that kid from
Duncan Robinson. You do look like Duncan Robinson.
No, he does not.
I think he does.
Duncan Robinson. No, why does he get favorable comparisons? Well, I got Brian Posehn. If I look like Brian Posehn, he don't look like Duncan Robinson. I got news for you.
Duncan Robinson's a dreamboat. Jeff Howe is yesterday's tomatoes. Jeff Howe, thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right, guys, thanks.
Yeah, you're no Duncan Robinson. It must be nice, everyone saying you look like some handsome devil.
Yeah, I get Andy Kaufman. That's a good one.
Yeah, see?
I get Jonathan Silverman.
You're just like him. You can't handle it. You couldn't hold his...
I was thinking more Spaz from Grease.
I get that, too. I was going to skip that. Why would I volunteer that? What? Hey, I look like Spaz.
Brian Posehn is cast because he looks like something's wrong with him. And that's who I'm compared to. And meanwhile, this whole sobriety thing's got me putting on weight like you wouldn't believe. I'm having 85 bowls of ice cream.
What weight have you gained since you've been back?
I put on at least 10 pounds.
And how much did you lose initially during COVID?
26 pounds.
Okay. So
or 21 pounds.
We broken about even here?
No. If you, again, do math, it's 21 minus 10.
I thought there was some space in between we hadn't spoken about. I thought maybe
There's always that, John. Oh, boy. But I got to quit bitching. Because I really went after you. I don't know. People are saying I have to quit bitching. Okay. I don't know. I don't know if I'm on Mars. I'm just looking to see what people say.
Okay.
I have pause, which is after you quit drinking, you're still stupid. All right. That's what pause is. I'll look it up. Okay. I can tell you what pause is.
All right.
Pause alcohol. Pause alcohol. Pause stands for post-acute withdrawal syndrome. So maybe I have pause, and maybe I don't know what's going on. All I know is that you're sitting there looking at the TV like there's no tomorrow. Rich, I should get off of this, shouldn't I?
Let's let it ride, man.
Yeah, I'll get off of it. I got pause. I don't know what's going on. I don't know which way is up. All right, we'll have the headlines.
You know who wouldn't get off of that, Fred? That would be
Mr. Unlimited Tom.
Yeah, baby. Well, John will fill you in on the 1984 World Series. Mm-hmm. I heard Gibson went deep. We'll talk about that.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now, back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Wanamaker. Left side, bounce entry, Marcus Smart catches, goes on, Robinson turns, draws the contact, muscles it up, spins around the cylinder, and like everything else for the Celtics tonight in Game 3, it falls in clean, and Marcus Smart goes to the line with a chance for three.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And Los Angeles last night, by the way, I did not know this, but they squeak out one.
Oh, Fred. It was awesome. Denver. And I'm rooting for Denver, obviously, because I hate LeBron James.
I think everyone's pulling for Denver for a little bit of an upset there.
But last night, this was just amazing. So just seconds to go, game on the line, and this ends up
happening.
Here's
Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers! Anthony Davis scored as a good three-point basket. They will take a look, but Anthony Davis is going to send the Lakers to a 2-0 series lead.
All right, it was phenomenal. It was a great moment. It sucks because I wanted Denver to win, but it wasn't as great of a moment as we got earlier this weekend, and that was when the MVP was announced. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, he ended up winning MVP. He got a ton of first-place votes. As a matter of fact, he completed a regular season in which he recorded the greatest player efficiency rating in NBA history. Like, there's a lot of reasons why this guy got it. I mean, this was not a controversial decision. Now, as we know, MVP isn't based on postseason, just regular season. And during the regular season, Giannis was an absolute machine. So LeBron James was asked about only getting 16 out of 101 votes for MVP, and LeBron James said this.
Pissed me off. That's my true answer. It pissed me off because out of 101 votes, I got 16 first place votes. That's what pissed me off more than anything. You know, not saying that, you know, the winner wasn't deserving of the MVP. But
yes, you are.
That pissed me off. And there's some things that's just out of my hand and some things you can't control. But it pissed me off.
LeBron, as we saw last night, you're not even the MVP of your team. Anthony Davis had a better year than LeBron James did, and he's going to sit here and say that he should have gotten the MVP award? That's why people hate you, LeBron James, is you can't be humble in the least. Even when you have stuff like this where it's as clear-cut as it can get, you, A, are not the MVP, and B, give Anthony Davis a little credit. Do you remember when they ended up making the playoffs and he was like, I think they got the one seed and he was like, you know, people said that I wouldn't be able to make it here with this team, that I wouldn't be able to. Dude, it was Anthony Davis who helped your ass. Now, you've been really good, LeBron, but I mean, you're second fiddle to a guy who's making amazing last second shots like that and has been doing it everywhere. By the way, a guy as tall as Anthony Davis should not be as good as he is at shooting three-pointers.
No, I know.
It's just not fair.
Well, yeah, it's one of those guys that grew up playing point guard and then happened to win every lottery known to man and grow, you know, 8 inches, so he still has all those skills from being a guard.
He's one of the best five players in the world, Anthony Davis.
And we'll get into something that Doug Gottlieb got in trouble for briefly. I mean, it's just
that guy can't stay away.
No, Gottlieb didn't do anything wrong, but really didn't do anything wrong.
I know, but he's a magnet for that kind of stuff.
Okay, I'll talk about this right now. All right,
so actually,
do we want to do this? Okay, forget it. Let's go right to LeBron, and then we'll double back.
I just want to get to this because, Fred, there might be a reason why he didn't win MVP. There might be dark forces at work, Fred.
Ooh. All right, so LeBron James, here we all are, and all we've talked about around the kitchen table is if LeBron James is going to win the MVP. Mm-hmm. And LeBron James, really short-sighted. You can look at all the votes, by the way, that the writers made. You can look by writer and by people who cover the NBA, who they voted for, and you can then send them letters because they didn't vote for LeBron James for MVP if they did not. But LeBron James went on, Rich. What did he have to say?
So, you know, I think sometimes the universe finds a way to, you know, maybe correct itself. And sometimes there's too much evil in the world. According to a right-wing conspiracy theorist named Sheila Zielinski, she says that there might be a reason things aren't going well for LeBron in the MVP race. Let's take a listen.
Mm. Is LeBron James just an athlete? Well, I believe this expose, we're going to take a little dive into what I believe is quite frightening. Now, here you're going to see this chalk ritual toss, what the sports world calls it a chalk toss, but it's simply a disguise for what he's really doing, a high-level conjuring, a spell, an incantation from this Illuminati wizard where he's summoning demons.
Oh, thank God. Can we get back to that, like, the nice 1980s, like, BS Satanist stuff? That is what we really need that. Because, like, when everyone was freaking out about nerds playing Dungeons and Dragons, let's just, like, can we get back to that, like, Kiss was satanic? Because Ladies Room and Christine 16 spoke of the devil.
Life was much simpler then.
I mean, who couldn't look at Peter Criss and hear him talk and not know that they were dark lords of Satan?
I need to hire some of these people. By the way, she made a video, and I need to hire the people who make these videos to do, like, all sorts of research for us, because they have found chalk, like when he throws chalk in the air, pictures in which the chalk in the air almost kind of looks like a demon head.
Oh, yeah.
And they've circled it. They found the demons in the chalk.
If you hit the lottery and you have one of those stains that looks like something evil, like one of those water stains, you can go, oh, no. Oh, we need to start getting afraid about the devil again. Because that brings you some of the great comedy of all time.
The Illuminati, as he picks up the chalk. Look at Satan.
All right, so obviously Satan, he's doing an ode to the Illuminati. And mm-hmm. as a member of the Illuminati, I got to say, lady, get off. All right, so she continues.
I believe he's conjuring up demons before every game. Plain and simple. Really take a look at these so-called chalk tosses. It is very...
So-called chalk tosses, as opposed to what he's really doing, which is talking of the Astros of his abs. I like so-called chalk toss. Well, I mean, it's undebatable that he's tossing chalk.
Oh, no, you don't see. Mm-hmm. It's the ashes of the wicked!
Is that chalk, or is that 1,000 dust particles from the bones of fornicators past?
Sodomites, all of them! It is, yes.
Somebody said, it's not out of the realm of possibility that LeBron is a wizard. He did read the entire Harry Potter series. No. That is true. We saw that.
Well, we don't know if he read the whole one.
Debatable.
Or if he just, no. I mean, he didn't get off chapter one, so maybe he got fed up with the whole Conjuring. Yes, please get back into reading into things about being the devil. Kiss. When you hear deuce, you can make sense of it.
Deuce. That means you want to conjure thy turd from thy buttocks. It's worth a deuce.
He likes 7-inch leather heels, as did Beelzebub. Do you love me, Satan? Do you love me, Satan? Hi, Satan! Hi! Hey, hey, Satan, make him not look over here, y'all.
This is Wizard Paul Stanley.
No, Satan is Paul Stanley. Satan's hey, Dark Lord, for which I obey. Make him take off the towel. Drop him. Hey, Satan, make it smell extra funky up in this thing. Stains. If you look at the stains in this underwear, Lamar Odom has been worshiping the devil.
Okay, so you're still in the
I'm in the 2014 like a locker room.
Okay, hang on. So this is satanic hamster dwelling 2014 Lakers locker room, Paul
Dick
Stanley.
Dick Van Exel, you've been a bad boy.
You went back too far.
Yeah. Someone get me a roster.
Paul Gasol. You throw him in there, you know?
Derek
Fisher still playing at that time?
All right, Gary Payton and Karl Malone.
Whenever
that was, I was in the hamper.
Okay, all right.
Plain and simple. Really take a look at these so-called chalk tosses. It is very frightening, this ritual that he does. I mean, putting his hands up, these Baphomet-style dragon demons appear.
Baphomet? I would imagine that's having to do with a bat.
Baphomet? No, that is one of the mischievous nicknames of thy Satan lord.
Ooh.
Baphomet, Baphomet, either way.
I did not know that.
You're going to hell.
That's right. I got to read up on my nonsense. My book in Baphomet. Okay, so is that biblical?
Baphomet? I don't know, but it's always... I learned about it on a Slayer album. It's like, you know, there's always in there. Baphomet's the guy with the horns. Yes.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. Very good. By the way, just very quickly, Doug Gottlieb has gotten flack because Maria Taylor, who is a sideline reporter for ESPN during the Monday Night Football, so she'll be on tonight, and she also does the basketball. She left Anthony Davis off all of her ballots for All-NBA, and she tweeted out that she left him off all the ballots, even though Anthony Davis is a first-team All-NBA, obviously. And Doug Gottlieb said, why does she have a vote? She just started doing the sideline stuff, just started covering the NBA. And she said, because I played basketball, I cover the league, and I deserve everything I've worked hard for. And now Doug Gottlieb, a lot of people want him fired because he had the audacity.
They want him fired for that?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Everyone wants everyone fired.
Oh, yeah. Because now.
Listen, he was a dick, but it doesn't mean
he was fired. I don't know if he was a dick. She made a terrible error. She obviously didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the process. She admitted it. He called her out for it. And now. The rule is now she is not to be talked about, even for errors, because she is female. But she is now like the female that you cannot say, well, maybe you shouldn't be voting because you did this. And now people are calling out other people for the way they voted. And I said, very good. Everyone should be held to the same standard.
And then they shall have demons cast
These
upon
Baphomet them. Baphomet-style dragon demons appear.
Maybe, maybe the Baphomet style of Anthony Davis made her not put him on the ballot.
He is just pure muggle, not a Death Eater. They can't all be pure blood.
A what eater?
It's a Death Eater.
A bottom feeder?
No.
Satan was the original bottom feeder. We gotta break. Beelzebub, always bottom feeder. Mm.
All always, always ass.
All right, we'll be right back.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.